It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff, and today we are on the topic of conversation of lies we tell ourselves. And, you know, I think this is one that we are certainly all guilty of. You know, sometimes, I guess for me personally here lately, when I get dressed in the morning, and have you ever had, Jeff, where your closet shrinks your clothes?
I thought it was my wife doing that.
You ever had that problem?
I think it's the dryer.
Oh, so you blame your dryer. All right, see, I blame the closet. I don't know what happens in there. Just sometimes your shirts get a little more snug than they were maybe the last time you put it on. Yeah, I kind of think that's a lie I probably tell myself. It's not that. Dude, you've been eating too much. Jeff?
I think the other lie I tell myself there is, I'll put this in this Rubbermaid tote and maybe one day they'll fit one day.
Just put that up in the attic. I'll fit in these again someday.
I'm not joking. I've moved a few times in the last couple decades. I've got clothes from 20 years ago that I gave a lot of money for, and I'm hoping one day I'll fit in them again.
Like, brother, that was you at 180 pounds. Put that in the garage sale. Now, is that because you're cheap, or do you think that was hopeful optimism?
I think it's both. I won't lie about me being cheap. I am cheap. No, I'll tell you what, this feels like a field of landmines, because this can be as superficial funny as you want it to be, or it can be one of those introspective, oh gosh, you know, are there any deep-seated lies that I tell myself to make myself feel better or to motivate myself? Or
Yeah,
it's like, whoa, man.
I do got to go back real quick, though, in reference to you being cheap. I just thought about this. Pretty funny. We were talking one time, and I remember you saying, if it wasn't for Melanie, I could live in a camper.
No, hey, I would live in a storage container.
And I texted you back and said, thank God you have Melanie.
That's right. I don't require much, you know. I just don't. Give me a little light on top and a pull-down door, and I'm good to go.
You're good?
I'm good.
All right. But yeah, no, I think, you know, somebody who's maybe in some form of an abusive relationship that's not always abusive, but yet, you know, that person maybe tells themselves, well, they still love me because they did this, and maybe they disregard the, you know, the other things that they do that clearly shows otherwise, right?
Yeah, they can't see the danger as a reason to get out.
Sure.
And so they use either past behavior or even some good present behavior to justify the moments where they're in danger, right?
What do they say? Love will make you do some crazy things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you got to ask yourself, is it really love?
Or is it just a comfortable shoe?
Yeah. Or is it just crazy?
Are you scared to leave just because you're afraid of being alone?
Sure.
You know, I mean, again, it can go so far, so fast. Maybe you just don't believe you're of value. And so it's okay for someone to treat you like trash.
Or I deserved it because of X, Y, and Z. And
yeah, like I did something in my past to deserve this kind
sure.
of thing. And so it's penance.
Sure.
You know, but again, lies. And they can be for, sometimes we try and lie to motivate other people. Like, you know, I don't know, sometimes around Christmas time, we lie to kids about this dude in a red suit. We to make them good for a month, you know.
Could we come up with 11 other characters we can throw in there?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Who you got for January?
We for January?
Frosty?
Frosty's
going to get you?
Frosty the climate change, if you don't stop using the fossil fuels of the dead dinosaur blood, then
Frosty's going to melt. Speaking of the dead dinosaur blood, I just saw where they now have discovered oil like 26,000 feet or so below Earth's surface.
Oh.
Yeah, it's crazy how deep those dinosaurs sink.
Oh, man.
I know.
They must be like miners or something.
Well, it used to be 6 feet under. Now it's 26,000.
Well, it is a liquid, so maybe it just flows.
I mean, do you think that happens? Is that going to happen to me?
No.
Will I be fossil fuel someday?
The other, how about, I mean, Easter? You got the Easter Bunny?
Oh, yep, that's true.
And then it's year-round, the Tooth Fairy.
Yep, she always comes.
Something's going to get you, so you got to stay close to your kids. Like they're
I've heard that before.
They're prone to wander, so you say, oh, stay close so I can keep you safe. Something's going to get you.
I guess we do say just stay close to us, but not really. We don't be like, something's going to get you.
Well, your girls probably are good and they listen anyway, right?
Yeah. That sounds good on paper.
Or the parents that they always threaten they're going to spank their kids, but they never do.
Oh. Yeah, that's true. That's lies we tell our children.
That's right, man.
Except for me, though. I will spank.
They're like, one, two and a half, three quarters.
I work on the third strike policy. Giving you a spanking. This is your first warning. You get number three. Delivering the boom.
Why not spank him out of the gate, just one whack, and say, if you do it again, you're getting two. Do it again, you're getting three.
That's a fair point, too. I might have to switch methodology.
I'm telling you, because, I mean, you've already been warning them your whole life. How many warnings they need?
Well, you know what I think about that, though, is sometimes I'll go, now, why would you do that? Why do you need told not to do that? But then I think about myself, and I think about God and being like, well, why would I need to be told not to do some of the stuff that I do? And it's the same, like, I'm just like, well, I don't need to be told not to do that. But sometimes I still do that.
Well, you know why? It's because we tell ourselves a lie and we say, it'll be okay this time.
Yeah, you could you could have that extra beer. Don't worry about it. You're good.
God will forgive me.
Yeah. You've only had five or six. You're good. I mean,
what's one more? Just drink it slow.
Yeah, you're not slurring your words or nothing, so you're fine.
You know what? I have this battle all the time with when I love to eat.
Oh, me too.
And so I sit down and it's like, you know, I can go back for thirds and I'll be full, but it'll be okay. I'll just, you know, and then I'm miserable.
I'll just have to lay down after I eat because I ate so much. It's all right because I was already tired anyway. I needed a nap.
Oh, where are the Tums? You know? And then I was like, okay, I'm not going to do that again. That's another lie. And then next meal, I'm doing it all over again.
Well, this was good. I guess I'm going to have to have some more of it.
It all worked out, you know, so it's like, it'll be fine this time. No lies we tell ourselves. You know, I was talking to, I'll just say a friend. He told me a story where he got into an unhealthy relationship at work. Okay. There was this younger girl that took an interest in him.
Oh,
I know. And
she comes in looking good.
She didn't at first. At first, it was like, you know, they were just friends. And then spent all this time together. And it was funny. His manager pulled him aside and said, look, man. Y'all are spending a lot of time together. Is there something going on? He's like, no, it's fine. We're just hanging out. And I'm like, but every break you guys have, you're together. And it looks like something's happening here. And you're married. And he kept justifying it and justifying it. Next thing he knows, he's talking about leaving his wife and hooking up with this girl who's like 20 years younger. Now, thankfully, it all worked out. And he realized because somebody, myself, said, what the heck are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Ton smacked him upside the head.
And he's like, oh my gosh. And he realized he lied himself almost into an affair.
Yeah. Well, he was probably getting something from that maybe he wasn't getting at home. So that's probably why he justified the...
he and his wife work.
The decisions.
Yeah, he and his wife work. And, you know, they were no longer spending evenings together. They had off schedules. So she's at work in the mornings. He's working at night.
Sure.
And so it was kind of like they're roommates more than in a marriage. And
well, I'm kind of a believer in, and I've only been married for seven years, so don't let me sound like a professional here, but if you're not constantly in some ways rekindling that flame per se, isn't there a good chance things kind of grow stale?
Two analogies that I heard someone say a long time ago. You know, I love a steak. You love a steak, right?
Oh, yeah.
Especially you put some shrimp and lobster at the side. Yeah. But if you're miserably full because you've already eaten three rounds of it, isn't there a point where you don't want any more?
At least in the moment.
Right, in that moment, right? So there's something to be said for a steady diet, healthy diet. And we're talking about intimacy on all levels.
Sure.
Whether we're talking conversation to, of course, sexual contact, all those things are important. They're important, though. Those are gifts from God. And there is a problem when you're not getting that in a marriage.
Sure.
And somebody else is offering it, it will look like that sizzling steak with the shrimp and the lobster.
And you haven't eaten in quite a long time.
Right. Now, doesn't mean you're going to act upon it, but why ever put either person in that position when you are the buffet for your spouse?
Sure. Well, I think, like I said, that's probably how that all began, was there was a need that wasn't being met that when approached kind of looked as if...
It looked innocent.
This could be, yeah, or maybe even this could be satisfied, this need that I have.
And this girl was moving in for the kill. She had her eyes on him, and she's
Jezebelian
like,
spirit come up and get you.
I'm telling you, man. So here, with that same analogy, which is part two of this, so you should never stop dating your spouse on a regular basis. Go out for the steak, shrimp, and lobster. I don't mean literally. You be that for your spouse.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So this dude realized he was telling himself some serious lies.
Yeah.
Corrected his ways.
Yeah.
All right.
And listen, I have seen this in ministry many times. There was a church I was at. There was this girl married to another guy who was incredibly flirtatious with every guy.
She was a woman of many.
I'm telling you. She and her husband were trying to get pregnant, and they were having trouble. And I think she didn't really care how she got pregnant. She just wanted to get pregnant. Yeah. And so she set her eyes on my friend. We're working out in the gym, and she's doing all these things. And I'm like, dude, you need to run. First of all, I'm never coming back to work out with y'all ever again, and you should follow suit.
So she was giving this dude a full-blown show of what was up.
Yeah, in front of her husband.
Nice.
And so I'm thinking like...
y'all swingers? What's going on here?
I wonder if he was in on it. Because he'd be telling his wife, hey, stop doing that. I mean, it's what she... I don't want to say what she was doing, but it was very suggestive, let's just say. And he's saying to her, okay, that's embarrassing. Stop doing that. In front of all these people, like one of them is our minister. Yeah. It's like, okay, this is really bad. I'm never coming to work out with him ever again. And you shouldn't either. You know what I mean? And again, he told me later, he said, thank you for helping me see again, the lie I was telling myself. They're just my friends. And this is innocent. He said, it was hard for me to admit.
Do you think anybody really believes that, though? Do you think, like, when you tell yourself that, when this girl's, like, showing her stuff in front of you, that she's like, oh, she just wants to be my friend?
Well, he was lying to himself.
Do you think that he had intentions of, like...
Absolutely.
He probably like to sleep with her.
He put in the category of, it would have been an accident.
What do you mean by an accident? Like, I had too many drinks and drove home drunk?
Like... I'm never going to have a chocolate bar again, but I'm going to buy 20 and put them in my cupboard just in case. You know what I mean? That's what just I'm talking about. Just in case. But I'll never eat one. And I'll never have a moment of weakness, but I'm going to put them in the cupboard out of sight. I won't ever eat one, though.
Yeah, that's not an accident.
If I did, it's an accident, you know.
They call that negligence.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the lies we tell ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And, the truth is, it's never okay.
But we do talk ourselves into that. It is, don't we?
You know, we poke fun at car salesmen for the lies they tell about the cars they sell. We are better used car salesmen to ourselves every day.
I always tell myself what I need to hear. what I want to hear. Sorry.
Right. So I guess for our audience out there, what lies are you telling yourself? Don't you appreciate the truth tellers in your life? And maybe not in the moment that they expose your lie.
I was going to say, nobody ever appreciates the truth when you first get it.
Not when you first get it, but when it keeps you from catastrophe.
Well, it's got to set in a little bit.
Yeah. And then you're like, that's a real friend. Because isn't that one of the hard things to do is, you know, if you tell your friend the truth, you're risking, especially if it's something that's a big deal, you're jeopardizing that friendship.
Oh, and nowadays, goodness, you tell somebody something they don't want to hear, look out.
But if you don't do it, then you're complicit.
You know, if you have a strong urge to tell somebody something and you don't do it, don't you kind of live with that? And
yeah.
Know, like, man, I should have done that and I didn't. Then almost in a way, you have the regret.
Well, I have heard it said where a friend is mad at their other friend.
Like, why didn't you tell me?
Right, because they find out later and say, well, I saw you doing that, but I didn't say anything. Well, why didn't you? Because I knew you'd be mad at me if I did. So it's kind of like you can't win, you certainly can lose. but some losses are worse than others.
How many people just took an experiment into their bodies?
Gosh.
Because, you know, I know the story, the narrative out there is, well, I did it to protect so-and-so or protect your neighbor, protect your elderly relatives. Most people took that because they were in fear and thought they were protecting themselves.
Yeah, it was right? Fear. Yep.
That's, we got to be honest about it. Mm-hmm. And now out of that experiment, what's going to come as a result?
Don't look it up. That's for sure. Don't go to some truthful websites that tell you it's not good. That experimental stick, it's not good.
Now, is everybody that got that going to have an issue?
No.
Absolutely not. But what's the percentage of people that do? Is it 10%, 20, 30?
I think it's
5.
That they're saying about half.
50?
Half, 50%. Okay. Are going to have some adverse major issue, be it blood clots, be it cancer,
a heart attack, yep. Cancer, whatever it
myocarditis.
Yeah. Sure. Now, do you tell yourself, maybe you've come to that realization of, man, I shouldn't have done that. I thought I was protecting myself and I got it wrong. I've done that 100%. Thankfully, didn't do it in this case, but would you want to tell yourself? I know I would tell myself a lie that, well, I'm going to be one of the healthy 50%.
Yeah, at what point do you say, okay, I got duped or I duped myself and I need to protect others as opposed to encouraging others to do what you did?
Sure. Well, and that's when this all rolled out, you know, from what I was looking at the time. They kind of, you know, the people like a Dr. Peter McCullough, who's one of the most, well, at least at this point in time, I think now he's in the mainstream, damaged his credibility, but I don't know that he's any less credible.
He's a hero.
Was saying how this was, you know, an entirely experimental procedure. And from what they saw in the animal trials, this is incredibly dangerous. So I did the best I could to make my family and friends aware. And I'm so happy I did. Not all of them certainly listened to me. But at least I don't live with the regret of knowing, well, yeah, I kind of thought that could have potentially been dangerous, but I didn't let you know.
Let me tell you, you talk about a volatile conversation because everyone was very passionate about why they felt the way they felt. And, you know, look, we're not all dealing with the same facts. Some people call their feelings facts. And
sure.
And their feeling is a powerful driver.
You know, for me, I'm clearly no scientific expert. I'm no doctor.
Right.
But just to look at the numbers, which
I can read, right?
Yeah. Well, which read. You don't need to be a medical expert to read data that states
right.
It has a 99.97 success rate, meaning you're going to get it and be just fine. So to me, I'm like, well, I don't need this
you
anyway.
You mean like when you say that, you're saying that you'll be fine. You'll
yes.
get over it.
There's a 99.97% chance that you'll get this and you'll be just fine.
Right. Like a cold or a flu.
Correct.
Yep. Yep.
So for me, you know, then all of a sudden I'm having something that just rolls out into the market, pushed down my throat as it's the only plan for success. It just gave me cause for the pause. Like, well, I don't think so. And then to hear the whole time, you know, there was other treatments and potential cures. And do I know that they all work? I don't. But I'll say this. They've been around a long time.
I know this.
And they were all shot down. They yeah. were all not allowed to be used. Well, not
they,
allowed to
they
be
couldn't be. They
discussed.
Couldn't be. Because legally, if there's another treatment, then legally you don't have the Emergency Authorization Act to fall upon to implement an experimental.
Sure.
And that was think, necessary.
I guess my main issue is everybody should have a choice to do what they, you know, feel is best. I'm, like I said, I'm no expert. So to sit here and say, I know that I'm right. Yeah. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say what was completely wrong here is that these were forced and mandated onto people and they weren't given a choice other than to uproot their lives or to
keep your job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not a choice.
Or if you love grandma, you'll do this.
Correct. That's manipulation.
Yeah, all
that's
the while saying safe and effective. I don't want to create an atmosphere of distrust, but we should all be thinking and be logical. And if something doesn't seem right, stop and investigate. But look, if we can all admit that we tell ourselves lies, can we take the next step and admit that we've been lied to and that people lie, period?
Well, yeah, if you'd lie to yourself, don't you think somebody else would probably lie to you too?
Right. Or if you'll lie to yourself, won't you lie to somebody else?
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
I think that there's a desire in us to want to see the best in all people. And that's a great trait. But don't be so blind in that belief system that you lie to yourself and convince yourself that nobody will ever lie to you.
Well, how about little lies people tell each other all the time? Right. Like maybe something as simple as, oh, that outfit looks really good on you. And do they really mean that? No, but they're doing it because they believe it's making someone else feel good.
Yeah, as it makes them look bad.
Yeah. But they think it makes them feel good, right? Or like, oh, that's a nice hairdo. I like it.
No, it's because you're a coward and you're afraid that if you are honest, that it will jeopardize your relationship. Let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. It's your fear. So, you know, I'll give you an easy out on that one. Say, you know what? I like the other outfit better.
Well, you know what? I don't have to say really anything. I'm just like, oh, y'all good.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, it's probably good. Don't worry about it.
Hey, stop lying to yourself and stop lying to others and stop believing the lies.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.